Good morning. We're excited to have our brother Joe Grinegar here from La Puente, California Church to share the message in just a moment. But we did have another announcement that we wanted to make. And it's exciting when we see the work of the Lord being done in our church. And our responsibility as a church, a body of believers, is to spread the gospel and to bring people to Christ. And it's His job to make sure that they hear His voice and respond when they respond to Him. And so we're excited to announce this morning that Martin Vandenberg, if those that are not familiar with Martin, has been attending here for about 10 months, has peace with God, and we are excited to announce him for baptism. So we look forward to having, Lord willing, that baptism here in about a month on August the 21st. And if you haven't had a chance to get to know Martin, I encourage you to get to know him. He's very interesting. He's very friendly. And so he's very approachable. And make this an opportunity in the next few weeks to get to know Martin a little bit better and about his background. He does have a very interesting heritage to share with us, as well as work that God has done in his life. So we're excited to share that. With that, Brother Joe, we want to invite you up to share God's message at this time, too.
As we open God's Word, let's bow and pray. Father, Thy Word is truth, and it's there for our edifying and understanding and chastising and admonishment. Lord, it's there that we can learn from it and draw nigh unto Thee, and be with us as we would read from it in this morning. Through Christ we pray. Amen. When I was young, I remember I had a fascination with all things, started mechanical. I remember finding in the garage a telephone, one of those old rotary dial telephones that had been set off to the side. And I wanted to see what was inside of it. And if you look at one of those telephones now, they're kind of hard to find. You can see that I think there's just one or two screws. They come right off. It comes right apart. But at this age, whatever age it was that I was, I must not have had the concept of screws down, because I couldn't get it apart. And I ended up beating it apart with just whatever was in the garage. I just kind of beat it and beat it and beat it until it came. And those telephones were so tough, and it took me so long to get that phone apart. A little bit later in my life, you know, I had been given a wood-burning set. And if you know a wood-burning set, it's really a soldering iron, but it has a chisel tip for that you use to darken wood. Well, I started using that as a soldering iron, and I started taking apart things, all things electronics. But I didn't know anything about it. But I had all these parts. I had all these capacitors and resistors and this and that, all these little discrete components around. And I thought in my small, untrained mind, I thought, well, you know, I get it. You know, it's like evolution. I've been taught. You just put it together, and then, you know, if it doesn't work, you put it together in a different way. And then if it doesn't work, you put it together in a different way. And if you do this enough times, you will get something. And it didn't take me long to figure out that it's just not true. It's just not true. Even with just a few discrete components, it's not going to happen. There's just too much that needs to be designed. In the 1950s, five girls lived here in Akron, Ohio. And they moved out to California. One of those girls was my mother. One was my aunt. And then there were three others. And they became my surrogate aunts, if you would. One of those aunts went on to marry an engineer who worked for Lockheed Corporation, and he worked for what they call the Skunk Works. And if you know anything about aeronautical history, if you know anything about airplanes, the world's fastest plane the SR-71, was designed by Lockheed in the early 60s, late 50s, early 60s. It was designed by the Skunk Works, which was a team of engineers that had full autonomy. They can just go in and get things done without the bureaucracy. And my aunt had married an engineer that worked at the Skunk Works. And she used to take him. She would drive him to the, it turns out the chief engineer, his name was Kelly Johnson. She would drive him to his house on Monday early in the morning, and they would drive out into the desert. And he would be gone for the whole week, and she would drive back maybe Sunday or Saturday morning to pick him up from all the work they did over that weekend. And so when I learned about this, and I didn't learn about this until it was way too late, but when I was in my 20s, what I would have been incredibly interested at meeting and talking with not just my uncle, if you would, but this Kelly Johnson, who was the eighth, some would say, in all of aeronautical history, he's like number eight of importance. And he lived just miles away from me. And I had a connection. I could have gone visit. I could have talked to him. What could I have learned? What I could have learned. This morning, I would like to talk a little bit about mentoring. Mentoring, as the Scripture has it for us. And if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The Corinthians had problems. There were divisions among them. And the Apostle Paul, in verse 7 of chapter 4, he says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if you received it, why dost thou glory as if you have not received it?" Basically, they were proud. They were lifted up. They didn't want to listen to anybody. And the Apostle Paul is writing them and saying, hey, you can't be like this. And then if we skip down to verse 14, he says, "I write not these things to shame you." He doesn't want to, he's calling him out. He's telling him as it is. You're too proud. You think you know too much. You're high. We're low. He says, "I'm not writing these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons," as a mentor, as a father to his children, "I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ," they were getting all sorts of information from all sorts of people on how to follow Christ. "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." So Paul is going back and establishing, where did you first hear of Christ? You heard it from me. And he goes on to say, "Wherefore I beseech you," listen to me, "be followers of Christ." No, not this one. We're going to read where it says be followers of Christ. But here he says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." So we have a number of things going on here. Paul here was declaring to this unruly group of Christians that their ways needed to change, and that they needed to get back to those basic fundamentals that he had taught them. And that they should follow him. So the first question of the morning is, could we say that? Could I say, follow me? Am I grounded in Christ? Is my life such that if I said that, and you did follow, that you wouldn't be going astray. Be ye followers of me, Paul says. Now in Ephesians, he writes, be ye faithful, followers, I'm sorry, in Ephesians 5:1, it says, be ye followers of God as dear children. But if you think about that phrase, as dear children, as soon as I thought about that, I thought of King Solomon. As he had been given the kingdom of Israel to rule, and he prayed, God came to him and he says, Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon said, I'm like a child. I don't know how to go in. I don't know how to go out. I need instruction, Lord. I need wisdom from you. I need you to teach me. I need you. As Christians, new or old, as parents, young or old, as employees, almost every aspect of our lives, we need mentoring. Yeah, you can give somebody a book. Here's the employee manual. Here's what I... Just read through this, you'll be okay. Well, I guess you would eventually. But there's a lot to understand, especially when the manual's this thick. And we have so many numerous examples to learn. If you think about it, those of you who are a little older, let's say those of you who are 40 or 60, do you think the same as when you were 20? I would say that not one of us would say that. No, we've had so many more experiences than when we were 20. Now, does that mean that no 20-year-olds think properly? No. Does that mean that all 40 and 60-year-olds do think properly because they've had all this experience? No. But I tell you, as we gain in experience and knowledge, as we go through our lives, mentors are important. Turn with me to Jeremiah 6:16. The Israelites, the people in Jerusalem, also had the same problem as the Corinthians, in that they had their own ways. And in Jeremiah 6:16, it's recorded, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, or in the road, or the crossroad. Stand there in the road, or the crossroad, and see. And as you're looking at this road, these crossroads, ask for the old paths, or the ancient paths. Ask, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. That key word that I wanted to point, the word that I have double underlined in my Bible is ask. Took an informal poll. There was a forum at camp, at Eastern Camp. There was a forum on mentoring. And in this forum on mentoring, oh, I don't know, there were 50 people in there. And the forum leader said, I want... wanted to talk about how many men in here are over 50 or 60, and there's like two hands. How many between these ages? Basically, his point was there are 8 men, and the rest were all women in this mentoring class. The people who thought that a mentoring class was needed, who put it on the forum list at all, were 3 young men. They thought it would be a good idea to have a mentoring class. But you have a mentoring forum, and what happens? No young men show up. And a bunch of women. There's some problems that we have. Somehow we think that we know so much. Ronald Reagan, I think it was before he was president, but he was asked, he was actually told by a student. He was told, he goes, Mr. Reagan, I think he was governor at the time, your generation can't understand us. You know, we were raised with television and jet planes and space travel, nuclear energy and computers. Your generation can't understand us. And to that, Mr. Reagan replied, you're right. We did not have television, jet planes, space travel. We did not have nuclear energy or computers, so we invented them. We have been taught in our generation that we're smart and that the old ways are no good. We've been raised this way. And I don't know if it's a conspiracy, but it really hurts, especially spiritually, because while it is true a lot of times that, oh, the kids know the latest technology and the kids know computers, oh, we don't know those things, and as things march on, all of a sudden the kids have grown up thinking, well, we know more than mom and dad. And I've grown up thinking I know more than mom and dad. We probably all grew up thinking that we knew more than mom and dad. But I think they've forgotten more than we'll ever know. And so, when it says here in Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, stand, look, and don't just pick a road. Don't just consult. Ask. It makes me think that we need to ask. And we're not just asking space or the bushes around us while we're on this road. We need to ask brothers and sisters that have been down these paths, that have been down these roads. And another recent conversation with a young man who was lamenting how he didn't have counseling. Nobody would follow up with him. He was lamenting that there was a problem with this follow-up. And I think we do have a follow-up problem in our churches. A lot of times maybe we do have a mentoring program, but it's kind of formal and maybe it's kind of stilted in some ways. But then I thought, as I was listening to him talk, I thought, what's stopping him from asking a little bit? Going back to my informal poll at Eastern Camp, how many people think it would be a good idea to have mentors? Oh, yeah, everybody thinks mentors are a good idea. But then when you ask, would you like to be assigned a mentor? Ooh, nobody wants to be assigned a mentor. Well, why wouldn't you want to be assigned a mentor? Well, I might not respect who that mentor is or what they stand for. Or, I like to do things my way. I don't need a mentor. Even though from the outside, there are so many different things that we do. Maybe it's leading the choir programs, the little kids, teaching in Sunday school, teaching in Bible class, preaching, praying, reading the Word. There's all sorts of things that we have deficiencies in that we need help with, and maybe we don't even know that we need a mentor that we need help with, but other people can look and see. Let me finish that verse 16 in Jeremiah chapter 6. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is a good way? Then at once the Lord says, walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Don't you want rest for your souls? This is the way to find it. To find a mentor, to ask, to be mentored, to find those ways, to find those paths that God has laid out for us before. They're not hidden. They're plainly written here in Scripture. But then it goes on to say, they said, we will not walk therein. goes on in verse 17. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. So you got two things going on. One is, there is a responsibility that the older have, and you can remember that verse, that the older should teach the younger. There is a God-given responsibility that we're supposed to do that. But too many times, we've been burnt somehow or some way or another, that we try, and maybe we didn't do it, as it says in Timothy. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 2:25, if you would. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. That was verse 24. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So, this is more talking to, servants of the Lord. We need to consider this. We need to be gentle. We must not strive. We need to be students of the word ourselves, patient. In meekness, though, instructing those that oppose themselves. So this is showing that there are people, there are many out there, here, myself included, that sometimes we get off on a tangent that's not right, and we need instruction, and we need to learn. And God sends us someone special that can teach us, that has the answer. Sometimes that special person, you know, we're not perfect, and we don't do it quite right, or maybe we are doing it quite right, but the instructor figures out with prayer and interpretation how to go to the instructee, and they get their head snapped off because they want to hear nothing of it. So they back off. Fine then. There was that sign that said bridge out. Person's driving down the road, sign says bridge out. They drive past the sign, they get all the way down another mile or two to the bridge, and it's out. They turn around, they come back, and on the back of that sign that says bridge out, says, I told you so. So we have two things going on here. One is, mentors have a responsibility. The older have a responsibility that they need to discharge by God's grace to lead and to guide in meekness those that need leading and guiding. And those of us who need leading and guiding, and I think we all can be in both groups, need to ask and make it easy on another. Because another thing is, when you're asking, if you spy out somebody that has a particular gift or skill, let's go back a little bit. A lot of times I think we think, well, yeah, I need mentoring, but I need, let's call it a super mentor. I'm looking for the person who's got it all together. You know, they got a good job, you know, they're making good money. They have a nice family. The kids are raised well. They come to church every Sunday. They're, you know, preaching. They're directing the choir. They got it all. They're the best. They got it all figured out. That's the mentor I want. Well, there's a problem in that normally all of that doesn't happen. Matter of fact, in our circles that we gather in, we know each other too well, so we always know that even though somebody might hit 90% of those things, there's those one of two other things that, you know, maybe he has a temper there. Or maybe there's this other little thing that just shuts you down and you say, I can't respect that person because of this, even though there's all this that's wonderful. So maybe, just maybe, if we submit ourselves to God and say, Lord, I do need a mentor. I do need help going through your word. I do need help in prayer. I do need help with my temper. I do need help finding a job. Show me. through your grace, through your word, show me the right person. And lo and behold, we know, God, that the prayers, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, that he's going to answer your question. And you might have somebody, oh, I'm looking for a job. I don't know why I can't get a job. And all of a sudden, you're sent this mentor. He just appears out of the blue, and you start talking, and maybe it's a casual conversation, and you're sharing with why I just don't know why I can't find the job. And he says, well, let me see your resume. And you give your resume, and there's all these wonderful qualifications. And then he says, well, you know, down here at your email address, it says vampire@death.net. You might want to change that. Well, why would I want to change that? I like my... You know, I might have changed the death.net, but I got a job application. Somebody sent me a job application that was something like that. I just put it off to the side. I had plenty of other ones that didn't have email addresses like that. Now, that may be neither here nor there to you, but those things are important to some. So why have that in your life? Mentoring. If we can humble ourselves, if we can confess before God that we need a mentor and understand that those super mentors are just so hard to find. And so let's call them micro mentors, that we're going to find maybe one or two or three brothers or sisters or friends that can mentor us in these areas that we have of weakness. We need to, as it says in the book of James, be always ready, be swift to hear and slow to speak. It might not be your email address. It might be some picture on your Facebook page that should go. You say, oh, I like that picture. It shows, you know, your mentor is going to say, well, you know what? It's kind of hard to explain, and maybe I can't quite explain it to you, but I can tell you, take it off now. It'd be a good thing. Oh, I want to get a tattoo. And the mentor says, you know what? And they have tattoos. And they're sad that they had these tattoos. After the fact, they know they've had the experience. And it's not just age that gives you experience. There's all sorts of people in life that don't learn from experiences. And a lot of times we use that to justify why, well, it's, you know, I can't respect any old people because, you know, they haven't learned from their experiences. And we know sometimes we're like that, just like that. So the mentors that you're seeking, it's not just an age thing. It's an experience thing. They say that it takes 10,000 hours to be an expert in general. If you want to be an expert in something, about 10,000 hours, that's about 3 hours a day for 10 years. If you do something 3 hours a day for 10 years, you got it all figured out. You've kind of probably seen every problem that's going to be there, that's going to pop up. You're just ready. But until you hit that 10,000 hours, and some people hit it at 5, and some people never hit it, you're not the expert. You need help. We need mentoring. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways or those paths, and seek and see. Look around and ask for the old paths. Where is that good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. That's a noble goal, finding rest for our souls. As we ponder upon God's word, let's read his word. Let's know what it says. Let's pray for revelation, because that he always responds with that. But let's find mentors. Find mentors to help know how to pray. Find mentors to help to know how to seek Him. Find mentors to know how to be hospitable. To find mentors to know how to raise our children. To find mentors to know how to reach out to a neighbor or a coworker. It's important that God's word is adhered to. And it's important that we use the mechanisms that He's given for us. And that's each other. May God bless His word.